Very good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you for having me here this morning again. And thank you, worship team, for leading such a heartfelt service before God's presence this morning. The Sunday service is for us to come to Christ and thank God for everything that God has done for us throughout the rest of the week, and continue to prepare our hearts to be stewards and witnesses for Him wherever that He sends us. And with that, let us continue to come before God in prayer as we begin this sharing. Spirit of the living God, we come before You this morning. This service is Yours. Have Your freedom, Lord. Have Your freedom to work in our hearts with the things that You have put on my heart, with the different things that each of us carry for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our work, for the people that we care about, for the church that we care about. So as we come before You this morning, in reverence before You, in trust that, Lord, You move mountains and You do that which is impossible, have Your way with us. Holy Spirit, have Your way in us. Allow my words to be pale, but allow the voice of our Master to ring loud and clear that which You want to say to us. In the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank You. Amen. This morning, I would like us to consider one question. The one question before us is, are you playing it safe in your Christian life? Or are you walking at the edge and being carried along by the waves of the Holy Spirit in your Christian pursuit? All of us in this room are more likely to lean on one of two of these two pathways, playing it safe or living by the edge of your life. Because we can't help ourselves, really. Our formative influences have shaped us. Our inclinations, our personalities, our preferences, and our aspirations, they all come together to make us who we are, and when options are presented to us, we will most likely choose to either play it safe or live by the edge. Now, there's a difference between living by the edge and living by the edge and being carried along by the waves of the Spirit. We'll touch on that towards the end of our sharing. For our time together, we will look at this question, the two tracks, and ask, what does Hebrews 11 have to say to the people of God as we make our choices on this journey? So let's look at playing it safe. How does it look like? People who play it safe will take the more familiar paths. And there's nothing really wrong with the familiar paths, the well-worn paths, the well-worn habits. They are usually more risk-averse, either because they want to avoid or minimize the risk, because that is in their dominant personality, or because they have realized that in a different season of life, they have lower tolerance for risk. Now, there are likely many, many reasons for walking within the confines of what is regular. I'm sure many of us in this room have been burnt by different issues in life. How many have never been burnt by heartaches in life? No, okay, we all have, right? So having been burnt badly, sometimes in business, sometimes in relationship, you invest too much and then they turn a deaf ear towards you and ended up betraying you or whatever. They learn that they cope better with regularity than the stresses of unpredictability. Or because they hold major responsibilities and they know that many others depended on them. So they decide that they will take the well-worn path, believing that in doing so, they will lead others to safety through this passage of challenges in life. So that's playing it safe. Now let's look at the other, living on the edge. How does it look like? Well, they tend to take the less traveled paths, and thus there are little precedents for them to follow. They are risk takers. They understand that before breakthrough happens, they will have many, many, many failed experiments. How many of you are on a second or a third vocation? Third career option. You have tried, it failed, you tried again, it failed, you tried again, it failed. Right? Experiments. Do a Google and find out. How many experiments did Einstein fail before he succeeded? Some regard that such a lifestyle to be very scary, and it is almost like reckless living, since they are more likely to be exposing themselves and their loved ones to physical, psychological, financial, and other forms of danger. Now, still, they will choose the unpredictable, either because it is exciting for them, or because it is a necessary evil that they learn to live with, even though they have been burnt in the past. They are not deterred by failures. The two tracks, playing it safe and living by the edge. Now, the two tracks can roll out in an infinite number of scenarios. The situation could be about a relocation, about a reshuffling of commitments, standing up for truth and justice in school, at work, in church. It could mean saying no to manipulations, walking away from unhealthy relationships. It could mean changing jobs, starting a new business venture, or starting out on your own. Now, it may mean heeding the advice of your parents to pursue certain course of studies. Some of you are studying now. Maybe you are thinking of what to pursue when you finish your year 13 and going to uni, and your parents are plodding you along a certain direction. Should you heed your parents' advice? Some of you are thinking about listening to what your mentors are telling you with regards to how you may advance your careers, or choosing to go into ventures and areas outside of your expertise. Now, it may mean following the recommendations of your parents and elders at home or at church. No. This is what we do. This is the secure pathway. Or it may entail redirecting the focus of your life, your small group, or your church. So playing it safe or living by the edge. Let's look at the outcomes. Each of the two tracks could produce their best and their worst possible scenarios. At its best, playing it safe will help you attain success by worldly standards, because it is the well-worn path. If you do this, you will build up 5 C's, maybe car, condos, you know, whatever. Yeah. Or at its worst, playing it safe will likely, well, at the least, what it will do is you will be comfortable, you will be secure. Nothing wrong with being comfortable and secure. Yes? Yes, agreeing. Now, at its worst, playing it safe will keep you in mediocrity. Because you know your potential is there, but you are not reaching it. You are playing it safe. There will be a nagging sense in you that you are losing your true soul and you are losing your authentic self. How many of you have played it safe in your workplace and you are advancing, but inwardly you know that you are dying inside? Okay, yeah. You have compromised too much for far too long. That is at its worst. At what risk? Okay. Now let's look at living on the edge. At its best, living on the edge It's exciting. You produce breakthroughs. You make unprecedented legacies. You feel like you are living in the will of God for your life. You feel fulfilled and satisfied. This is what I'm made for. Anyone there? Anyone? Oh, I have to pray for you all. I have to pray for myself too. At the least, living on the edge means life will be constantly on the move. How many of you don't like change? That sounds scary, right? Constantly on the move, but it is exciting. At its worst, living on the edge may dampen your morale and spirit, especially if you are trying to pursue a goal, but you never achieved it and realized it. And you always feel like you are a failure because of the instability. Anyone in this room feel like a failure because you are constantly taking risks and never arriving there? Okay. Weighing the possible outcomes give no certainty, by the way, that one path is definitely better than the other. So I'm not here to tell you that one path is better than the other. A lot depends on the values that you have, the priorities that are in front of you, and the goals that you have set in front of you. But I'm wondering, in this room, between the two paths, what is your normal and instinctive and preferred choices most of the time? Have you ever paused to consider why did you choose the way that you chose much of the time in most of the scenarios? I am wondering, if you are given the opportunity to steer your course again, maybe the same scenarios that are played out infinite number of times, as if providence is giving you opportunity again and again and again and again, and it's like we are going in circles as if we have not yet graduated from this scenario. Do you find that in your life sometimes scenarios recur again and again? Charlene, my wife, will tell you that I learn one lesson again and again. 20, 30 years in full-time ministry, I go around the same cycle because that is the lesson I need to be learning, and I'm still learning that lesson. I don't know what lessons you have that you have to be learning. I wonder, maybe you set out your life on a certain course, but you found a distraction, something that seems good because of what your mentors have offered you, what your parents have suggested to you, and you begin to take the more traveled path instead of the less traveled path. And after deviating for the course for a while, you wondered to yourself, is this the kind of life that I want? Is this the kind of journey that God has set up for me? I see a few nods here and there. Have you considered the logic behind your choices? It's okay. We want our children to be making sounds. They are interacting with us. That's really, really good. I'm glad for that. I really am. Okay? He's agreeing. Beautiful. The Holy Spirit is working. If the same scenario were to play again, would you choose differently today? And how so? I don't know where you are in your journey of faith, your walk of life, the challenges that are before you. But I want to ask you, if scenarios were to play again, how would you choose differently? This morning, as we look at Hebrews 11, may I suggest to you that Hebrews 11, verse 1 to Hebrews 12, verse 2, in spite of the many ways we can look at this set of texts, there are 5 takeaways for us about whether to live on the edge or choose to live by faith. So here are the 5 takeaways from the great cloud of witnesses. First, God takes a super long view of time. And God would and God could fulfill whatever that God has promised. No matter how unmovable your obstacles may be, no matter how unmovable the corrupt systems may be, or how obstinate certain people may be in your ways, or no matter how culture and popularity seems to move in a certain direction, God takes a long view of time, God would and God could fulfill whatever God has promised. I'm still holding on to certain things that God, I believe God has spoken to me and my family years and years ago, even though I still don't see them coming to pass. Do you have that for you? God takes a long view, and God would and God could. God is not hurried by our timelines. Our timeline means let's do things quickly. We want yesterday, the day before. We want tomorrow, yesterday. So in your quest for expediency, remember, give yourself a break. Don't take life too seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously. Okay, that's the first. Second, God has an intimate knowledge about the whole course of our lives, our beginning and our end, including whether we will eventually join the saints' everlasting rest in the promised city that is prepared for those who love God. Let me say that again. God has intimate knowledge about the whole course of our lives, including whether we will eventually join the saints' everlasting rest that is prepared for those who love God. Now, this second takeaway can be either a comforting thought or it can be a scary thought, depending on how you have interacted with God. If you are on a transactional relationship with God, meaning, God, if you do this, I will do this for you. If you do this, I will do this for you. How many of you are there? Or if you know you have little secret corners that you hide away, and you think that by not confessing it, by not coming to God and coming clean, that you hide it away, we can't hide it eventually. So it is a comforting thought if you know that you are striving to be a faithful, clean vessel before our Master in whatever that your life pursuits may be. Now, let me say this. It is very, very difficult to be a clean vessel in an imperfect world when others around us are imperfect, when our systems are corrupt, and we are imperfect ourselves. Very, very difficult. It means to be standing with integrity most or all of the time, knowing that in order to be right with God, sometimes we have to be so honest. And people don't like honest people all the time. Although, of course, in business we say integrity and honesty is good. But most of the time, people don't like us to be very honest. Right? So, and some business dealings, there are ways around it that are unscrupulous. So, how do you be a clean vessel? You see, a clean vessel that is before the Master knows that life is temporary. We prepare for eternity. And that means that our striving is that we will be right with our Master at every scenario, in every conversation, in every situation. And if you are doing that, it is a very comforting thought to know that God knows the whole course of our lives and we are being prepared to join the saints' everlasting rest. But if not, it is a very scary thought, because how are we to stand before a God who is both gracious and very severe when it comes to penalty? So I leave it to you. Be sure that we are right with God. Okay. The third takeaway from this set of passage is the question that is presented to the readers of Hebrews 11 for all times. Will we take God at His word and at His promises, despite being misunderstood, despite being ridiculed, despite being rejected for persisting in the cause that you know that your Master, your God and my God, have put in your heart for the course of your life? Each of us in this room are made and wired differently. There are certain pursuits that only you are to pursue because God has put it in your heart. It is more than a DNA. It is the whole purpose and vocation of your life that only you and you and you and no one else can do that and can stand in that role as a conduit of God. So the question that was presented to readers of Hebrews 11 for all time is, will we take God at His word and at His promises? And taking God at His word and at His promises means that if you are to fulfill that cause that God has put in your heart, that is for you and you alone to be that witness that only you can bear before our Master to whoever, that in persisting that cause, there were others who will laugh at you, who will despise you, who will reject you, because they will be thinking, nah, it can't be. I mean, think about Noah, right? He was building that ark. This crazy man, right? There will be no flood. What is he thinking about? But the promises have yet to come to pass. The situations have yet to unfold, but he received clearly an unction from the Master, and he stayed on the path, and he was being made fun of. Most of the 12 exemplars in this text, Adam, Abel, Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua at Jericho, and Rahab, besides David and Samuel, the four judges amongst the 12, Gideon, Commander Barak, Samson, Jephthah, the four major prophets and the 12 minor prophets, even Jesus Christ himself, have been misunderstood, have been poked fun of, have been attacked, have been tortured, have suffered for following what seems to be absurd to common sense and social customs in the course of following their master. All these 35 witnesses have persevered through some of the most severe and unfavorable conditions. Some have made unimaginable blunders and mistakes. I'll name you a few. Gideon. Gideon blames God when feels inadequate and put fleece to test God. Samson. We know that Samson indulges in sexual pleasures, alcoholism, and had a pride that was so huge. Jephthah, he eventually returned to his people who initially did not want him there to be their leader. And after he finally accepted their second invitation, he found that they didn't honor their promises. And even as he battled with that, he was a very impulsive man. He made oaths and ended up sacrificing his daughter, his eldest daughter. David was an adulterer, and he committed murder, right? He murdered, amongst many others, Bathsheba's husband. There was Samson. Samson condoned his sons and their ungodly behavior. Yet in spite and despite of all this, God acted with the promises that God has said. Even though they are imperfect people, and even though they did not live to see the promises of God fulfilled in their lifetime. The difficulty of persisting in the long road of obedience is deciding what to do when we are battling with failures and untold numbers of obstacles and valleys along your pathway. When you do get discouraged and disillusioned, when you doubted God's goodness. Sometimes we go to church and we say, well, we cannot doubt God's goodness, right? But in our lives, sometimes we do doubt. Right? How come my situation is like that? Right? And sometimes our perceptions are colored because of circumstances, and we wonder, are all the past sacrifices worth the while? Any of you been there? Okay, a few. When we see less confidently, was that God? Or was I mistaken in my interpretation and perception whether that was God? Maybe that decision at the time that I made, I felt very, very strongly that God was behind it. After some years back, I looked back and I wondered, because I didn't see the results that I was hoping for, because I didn't see the promise come to pass, and I began to doubt. I doubt my perception, I doubt my scenarios, I doubt my advisors and my mentors and my consults, and then I doubted my wife, my children, and then I doubted God. God, how can it be? The same cries that the psalmists have offered before God. How long, Lord? How long? Sometimes the path took us on journeys that we didn't expect, and we find ourselves stuck at that very point. But if you find yourself stuck in that very point, remember, take God at His word and take God at His promises. Third, again, I can't count. Okay, actually it's 4 takeaways, not 5 takeaways. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, encourage us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What does running with endurance means? What does running with endurance and being carried along by the Spirit means? Running the race that is set before us, a race that is run well, is not running on something that is comfortable, something that is easy peasy, something that is relaxed. It requires preparation, it requires training, that means sweat and suffering, and persistent endurance during the preparatory period during the race. It involves fixing your eyes on your goals and not getting distracted by anything else. It requires staying on the course time-wise, the journey-wise, the route-wise, and pacing our stamina exertion so that we will not burn out too quickly. It requires that we push beyond our comfortable limits during the whole course of the race. So running the race well is not doing all those comfortable things. Running the race that God has set for us requires that we know ourselves, the epicenter of our lives, what we do best and what we do worst, and be brutally honest with what we do worst and gratefully thank God for what we do best. It requires that we see where we are placed and make sense of why did God place us here at this season, at this place, at this time. It requires that we know the course reasonably well, as much as we can gather, even though there's a whole big mystery out there, the unpredictable. It requires that we adjust our attitudes. It requires that we adjust our mindsets and adjust our inner motivational framework. And after we do all this, know ourselves, know where we are placed, know the course, even though there's a lot of mystery, fixing our eyes on the goal, staying on course and pushing the limits, it requires that we trust ourselves fully in the hands of providence, in the hands of a responsible God. Because when we run the race, we do not run the race alone. We run the race with God, and we run the race with friends that God has put in our paths. Do you feel like you're running your race alone? Where are your friends? Where are the people that God has surrounded you with? Now, during the race, it requires us to also adjust with the waves. Something like what the surfers do. The surfers will go, I'm not a surfer myself, that's what I read from the surfers. They say that they will learn to catch and they will ride on top of the waves so that they will not fall under the currents. May I suggest that the great crowd of witnesses in Hebrews 11 have all had to make all these adjustments as they run the race that was set before them. So, playing it safe or living by the edge? And better yet, living by the edge that is carried along by the winds of the Spirit. How do we know that we are carried along by the winds of the Spirit? We know that in the course of journeying, we have much to grow. We have much to change. We have much to improve if we want to accomplish something for God and if we want to accomplish what God wants to do. And to do so means that it requires us to adjust with what the Spirit of God is doing. It requires us to go much deeper into realms that we thought are ever possible. Are there hurdles and obstacles that you at this present time in your personal journey, you believe it is an unbreachable gap? Go to the Spirit of God and ask. It requires us to go much further than we can ever think or imagine or see. It requires us to push the frontiers and create the edge, but not by our own pushing, but as we see the providence, the providential hand of God leading and guiding that journey with signs and confirmation for you that this is the pathway that is prepared for you, even though you may not understand, but you know that that was the signs that God has laid in front of you. Being carried along by the Spirit means that as we journey along that path, God, who keeps His promises, will eventually fulfill those calls, even though the journey to redemption and restoration and renewal sometimes will cause us to feel like a failure. If you feel like a failure, brothers and sisters, this morning, in whatever path that you have set, as long as you know that you have went before God and asked, and you know that God has given you that confirmation that that is the path at each and every point, even though you feel like a failure, I have news for you. You are not a failure. You are not a failure. Even though at the point in your journey, you felt like, I can't see the results. Because God's vision and dream will last beyond your lifetime and my lifetime. Which is why some wise men used to say in the past, live a dream so big, that is so huge, that it is definitely bound to fail unless God be in it. Because when we live that dream, we know that we are living beyond our times. We are vessels in the hand of our Master, who will then take the work of this vessel and the work of this vessel and the work of this vessel and the work of that vessel, and with it across cultures, across generation, to set in motion that something that is way beyond our time that God will fulfill. So even though you may feel like you are not achieving much, but you are. If you are on the path that our Master have given the indicators for you. Okay? Okay, is that alright? Is that alright? Now let me share a story at this point. The story was told of a middle-aged man. His name is John. Any John in this room? Purely incidental, okay? John found $50 on the road one day. From that day on, after finding $50, everywhere he went, he kept his eyes on the ground in search for treasures. Happy or sad? Initially, he got tickled by his findings. A gold coin here, a gold coin there, $20 here, $50 there, maybe even $100. Some lovely notebooks, some cards that got dropped off and etc. Some secret love notes even. This habit continued for some 35 years. By which time, guess the treasures that he has collected. Let me name you a few. He collected thousands of buttons, hundreds of pins of all colors and shapes and size, a stack of cards and notes for nearly every occasion that you can find from cradle to grave, $100 here and there, 20 gold coins and nickels, and especially a very bent posture and an unhealthy back. Well, he got his little bargains. He didn't realize that for 35 years he was running a different race. And running this different race came at great cost to him. 35 years ago, you see, this man was on his way to becoming a man of stature. But somehow he got distracted. His path got deviated. Because of the different setbacks that came his way, he decided to play it safe. He decided that he will not choose to beat the current. And then, of course, the first $50 note that he found brought a lot of delight to him, and he got distracted. His fixation on his mind became his race, and as such, he missed the beautiful weather. He missed the sight and sound and the love of life, of fun and laughter and relationships. He missed the opportunity to work with others towards a common goal that will achieve much good in his community. You see, besides John, there was another group that he was with at that time. And this other cluster that he was initially yoked with were planning to do something big in that city. But their efforts were so small that at that time John thought, it's not worth the pursuit. But the $50 attracted his attention. The race that God wanted him to embark on with those peers that were knocking against the wall for social justice in the community, that God wanted him to embark on, he never ended up in that path. The people that he was meant to support, the journey that he was meant to change, the lives that were meant to change, never occurred with him but with others. Why did he miss what he missed? As we conclude our time together today, can I come? I have three simple questions for you. What are the seeds that have been sowing, that you have been sowing in your journey? Have you been sowing seeds of comfort and security? Or have you been sowing seeds of despair to yourself because you can't see the results that are happening? Or have you been sowing the seeds of greatness even though at this point in time the greatness is still yet to be seen? What seeds have you been sowing? What are the opportunities that are presented before you with playing it safe and choosing to live on the edge and choosing to be carried along by the ways of the Spirit, even though at this point in time that dream appears to be unrealizable and impossible to achieve? So CACC, as we close our time together, I bring before you playing it safe, living on the edge, or choosing to be carried along by the ways of the Holy Spirit. For this message, I'm targeting it on personal journey. The next time, if God still puts the same emotion in my heart, we will go into playing it safe or living by the edge for church life. But for now, let's go in on our own personal journey with God. May I invite every eyes to be closed at this point? A very simple message today, right? Something that probably we know it at the back of our heart, at the back of our minds. We know that there are things in the garden of our soul, the weeds that need to be plucked out, and the seeds of development that needs to be thrown in to replace the seeds of comfort and
maturity, whatever you call it.
With every eyes closed here, if in some way this message has touched your heart and you know that the Spirit of God is nudging your heart and say, can you make a change? If that's you and you say, I want to, I don't know how, God, will you help me? And if that's you, I invite you to raise your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The second group of people I want to address this morning as we close
You have been leading by the edge and you are deeply discouraged in your journey, and you have been asking God, God, how can it be? How can it be? I can't see it. I can't see it. I can't see it. I don't have the eyes of faith like the cloud of witnesses. We read Hebrews 11 and we think that they have remarkable faith, but we didn't know that we didn't know the struggle that they have. If that's you, you're struggling and you say, God, I want your encouragement. Can you show me indicators? Tell me I'm on the right path. If that's you, please raise your hand. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
The third cluster I want to invite is you want a
replacement. You want a different kind of seats in your journey. You are sick or tired, and being sick or tired of who you are. You are not comfortable in your own skin at all, and nobody knows it, but you know it. You are dying inside, and you need God to refresh you. If that's you, please raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Let's come to our Master in prayer.
Spirit of the living God, we come before you this morning. Lord, you know these three clusters that you have put on my heart to invite our brothers and sisters to respond. Lord, you know where each of my brothers and sisters are in their journey, in their walk. Lord, for those who are discouraged, Lord, we ask, Father, in your goodness, in your mercy, in your kindness, somehow this week, Lord, somehow this week and this month, will you, Father, shine through, Lord, your love overabundant to them. That they know that they are loved and received by you. That they know that their path is in a path that you are preparing for them. For those who feel uncomfortable in their own skin and I feel like they are dying on the inside, Lord, you are the Spirit who revitalizes and recharges. You are the Spirit who breathes breath of new life, because in you is life everlasting. So Father, blow the winds of the Spirit and blow the breath of life into their beings deep within. Father, for those of us in the first cluster, Lord, we come to you. Father, help us to prod on the path that you have prepared for us. To choose to live the life that is carried by your Spirit. And if being carried by the Spirit means for us that we are to choose to walk the safe and well-worn path, because that is our best expression of worship to you and being clean vessels before you, Father, will you affirm that for my brothers and sisters who are on that path? For my other brothers and sisters who are on that path, but you are calling them into the path of choosing to live by the edge of life, teach us to stand and rise above the currents. Teach us, Lord, to catch the waves. Even though we may not see the end in sight. We thank you, Father, that you take a long view of time. We thank you, Lord, that you counted a possibility that we can have this privilege of journeying with you and being at peace in the Master's blueprint for your creation. For those of us who are in either of the paths or unsure and are waiting upon you, Spirit of God, will you take hold and hold each one of us in this room? To see more clearly, to hear more sharply,
and to respond to you more adequately in our personal journeys as your spirit extends. And whatever that we carry this morning, Lord, thank you for being faithful in our lives. In the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
And have the faith that God will do something incredible with all our efforts. I'd like us to stand for our response with Him, and it'll be the third song, Oceans. Keep my eyes.
of waters. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger.
Delighted to have Pastor Tim this morning, and I believe that God has spoken to each and every one of us. Now, this is the last week of our memory verse, and I'm sure that everybody has already memorized it by heart. Okay, let's go. Close your eyes, and let's just take off the slides. I'm sure we can do it. Submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. Great. So we'll have a new verse next week. Now, this is a new announcement. We just have to pay attention to it because these are all the missionaries that CACC supports. And you may know all of them by names, I hope. Now, we are going to raise our financial support for this team of witnesses who are doing the work at the front line for God. And it's not just about the amount of money. But we'll break it down for you guys. It seems it's quite a lot, 50,000 that we're going to collect for these group of missionaries. But if you break it down, assuming 100 of us, okay? We're talking about for adults or, you know, for those who work, maybe 2 cups of coffee per week. All right? For the younger ones, maybe 2 packs of chippies or a few bars of chocolates, okay? So it's not that hard. And I think most importantly, we need to support our missionaries with our faithful prayers. Yeah, so we have a bit more next week, hopefully. So let's put our heads together and We'll start from the 1st of August. So financial planning, go to Stephen Uncle. AGM. Our AGM will be held in October this year. However, we do need the ministerial reports from all our leaders. So there are the deadlines. For those who need translation, please submit your reports before the 13th of August. And but the 20th of August will be the deadline. It's amazing opportunities for all of us, the leaders, to share all the amazing work that God has done through us in the last year, and also to share with the congregation what God has put in our hearts that He's going to do some wonderful deeds through us together as a team. Now, Equip will be on again today at 10:45 at the library. And that's next week's roster. And I would like to invite Pastor Tim to give benediction.
May I invite us to stand?